Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome back. 37 past the hour here at the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with you. Is the U.S. Constitution a valid document if our country can't agree on what is moral or immoral? Apologist and Christian worldview expert Alex McFarland has been pondering that question, and he joins us from South Carolina. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Meyer. It's great to be with you.
Now, some of our Faith Radio listeners may have been following the battle between the state of North Carolina and the U.S. Justice Department over the so-called bathroom bill controversy. But for those who haven't, you're right there in the thick of it, right next door to Charlotte. Can you give us an update on what's been happening in recent weeks?
Well, the most recent news bomb that's been happening is the Obama administration yesterday issued to all the public schools in America, just, I suppose, by divine fiat, this letter that, by the way, carries zero force of law. It's an absolutely unofficial, unenforceable legal, from a legal standpoint, piece of communication. But the Obama administration has sent a letter from the White House and from the DOJ saying that all public schools have to let transgender students use the bathrooms of their choice. I've got multiple objections to this. And let me just say, folks, if you don't know this already, I would beg of you to get your head out of the sand and understand that this is the most immoral White House in the history of our country, because they have fought basically the three things that could save the Western world, which is belief in morality, the family, and the church. Moral law, the home, and Christianity, this White House has fought tooth and nail against. But Bill, this whole nation, our declaration from the Magna Carta, Mayflower Compact declaration to the Constitution, has all presupposed something that we call natural law. And basically, the rights of man come from a belief in God and natural law. Now, this is not the establishment of religion, but the whole transgender and gay agendas depend on there not being any natural law or moral law. And so what's at play is deeply, deeply significant here, and I fear a lot of people maybe don't realize that.
Now, you said recently, this is an interesting quote, you said, America is in an odd position when the federal government encourages people to do things that are unconstitutional. Can you explain that for us?
Well, basically, the rights of man throughout history come down through a number of documents, not the least of which is the Sermon on the Mount, the Magna Carta, Mayflower Compact, Declaration, Northwest Ordinance, Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Emancipation Proclamation. By the way, the 1863 Emancipation Proclamation, which not only said that all people should have equal protection under the government, but all people should be paid reasonable wages. I know we associate the Emancipation Proclamation just with the abolition of slavery, but it affirmed a lot of things about humanity. Something else that a lot of people don't realize, my distant cousin Woodrow Wilson set forth what he called his 14 points in 1918. All of these documents presuppose that there are some moral laws, and natural law, moral law, Jefferson's self-evident truth all presuppose there are some moral realities that you don't have to defend, you don't even make an argument, they're just known by all people. And men are men, women are women. I mean, this is biology. And when the Obama administration is advancing an agenda that not only philosophy, theology, biology, the mental health community, the medical community, sociologists, by any measuring stick, these these reflective entities from science to theology would say this is immoral, this is detrimental, this is dark, this is wrong, this is objectively wrong. And yet the White House and the culture that goes along in lockstep with the White House, it's so disconcerting, because what the fallout, the body count, are the lives of people, Bill. I mean, think about this. Of those that are involved in homosexuality, transgenderism, gender dysphoria, the people that give themselves to sexual deviancy will die 2 to 2.5 decades sooner than their heterosexual counterparts. This is documented fact. I guess we could ask the question this way. Besides the history of the Western world, besides the Word of God, besides the conscience of man, why would the White House be promoting a lifestyle that's more than twice as likely to kill you as cigarettes?
Well, exactly. And one of the things I often talk about, Alex, when you look at this is, you know, you have not only the government, but you even have some mainline denominations saying that, you know, people should embrace these sexual deviancies, that somehow they, you know, or they're designed by God in that way. And it is the least compassionate response, because indeed tied in with all of these lifestyles, and not just early death, we're talking about mental illness, we're talking about increased levels of domestic abuse. You know, I could go on and on. It's a very sad situation. And if we truly are compassionate, if we truly want to be loving to individuals, we would never, ever encourage them to participate in something that could be harmful to them.
Exactly. You know, the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. Bill, my wife is a nurse, and, you know, it's been her privilege to work with many doctors. And, you know, let's say you've got a tumor, and the doctor says, you know, I mean, that tumor could be life-threatening, but if I were to make an incision, cut the patient to remove that would hurt. You know what? I don't want to hurt him. I'm not going to address that tumor. I mean, that doctor would lose his license. I want to appeal to my fellow clergy listening. I've been an ordained minister 25 years. I've been a pastor. I've been a youth pastor. I've worked in the parachurch world. And I would say to pastors and Christian workers, I would beg of you, think of the day that you'll stand before God and you'll answer for how you handled his word and his truth. And I would just implore ministers, rather than going with the flow and doing the thing that is expedient and easy, be courageous, preach the word of God. Do you remember, Bill, back in the Old Testament when God reprimanded some of his priests? He said, they've treated the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace.
Right.
I was on NPR 2 weeks ago today with a Methodist minister who just reprimanded me for being so narrow. And, you know, he was saying that God made people LGBT, trans, queer, whatever, and that basically my position, traditional values, the family, heterosexual monogamy, that was outdated. And, you know, Bill, I mean, I've been a Christian 30 years, been a minister 25. I've read the Word of God forward and backward. I've never found an expiration date. I've never seen the Bible say, best if used by, or it.
Oh, that is so well said. Alex McFarland, our guest here on the Faith Radio Network. Every once in a while, you crack me up there, Alex. It's 46 past the hour. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Relevant Bible preaching, family-focused teaching. Faith 90.7, AM 900.
48 past the hour at Faith Radio. Have you downloaded the Faith Radio app yet? Why don't you do that today? Start enjoying the great programs you love. You can check out the live stream, access some of the shows you've missed, read the latest articles, and discover some great new opportunities to connect. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play, the Faith Radio app. It's Bill Meyer here with Alex McFarland. And Alex, I'm not sure if a lot of Americans have thought this through, but why is it so critical for a society to hold an objective view of morality?
That's a great question. And if I can say so, I'm holding in my hand a book that just came out yesterday. I've got a brand new book called Stand Strong America, published by Broad Street Publishing. Stand Strong America, that we talk about basically the past, the present, and a pathway to the future to defend our freedoms and our liberties. You know, so many of our founding fathers, I think about John Adams, our second president, who urged Jefferson to write the Declaration of Independence. Both John Adams and George Washington, and most of our founders of the 56 signers of the Declaration, I think it could be well argued that 54 of the 56 signers were Christians. But Adams and others said, you know, morality is the foundation for a free society, a society. And by the way, freedom doesn't just mean no boundaries. Bill, 10 years ago, I used to say that the core value of many people is sexual license. I would say the core value of this generation now is just license. I mean, there's a belief that freedom is this militant autonomy that I can do anything I want and nobody can say anything. That's not really what our founders envisioned. Our founders envisioned liberty within a moral context.
And let's take that to its logical conclusion, because Adams was concerned about this. And the fact is, if we continue down a path, this type of path, we ultimately end up in chaos and anarchy.
We really do. We really do. And see, that's why, look, if the White House and elected officials and school teachers and administrators and the mayor and moms and dads and ministers, when you affirm morality, when we tell every succeeding generation, look, there are things that are right, there are things that are wrong. You don't lie, you don't steal, you don't do that which is sexually immoral. You don't steal your neighbor's wife. You don't fornicate. And certainly you don't commit that which is unnatural. That's not violating the First Amendment. That's not establishing a religion. A lot of people, and Bill, I know this takes thought. This takes a little bit of reflection. This is more than just a media soundbite. But when you talk about morality, that is not the establishment of religion. Morality and religion are two different things. It's civility and ceremony. And the founding fathers would have been horrified. I mean, I've taught this at the undergrad and graduate levels at schools like Liberty University, Biola. I've spoken at several times, North Greenville, where I'm on staff in South Carolina. But the founding fathers, like we mentioned, Adams. John Adams said that the principles on which the founders achieved our independence were the principles of Christianity, which are as immutable and eternal as the existence and attributes of God. Washington said, you know, the only without morals, a government cannot long subsist or exist. So when, just know this, when Obama, the White House, and the left, that really, I'm convinced, doesn't have a clue about the DNA of our nation, when they advance this worldview where there are no objective moral truths, it's really a form of treason. It's treason by slow incremental steps, because our Constitution cannot be defended in a moral vacuum. You have to acknowledge a creator God who is the ground of moral reality.
You know, Alex, that's so well said. And for our listeners that just tuned in before the break, we mentioned this. The White House has released a statement saying public schools in America must let transgender students use whatever bathroom they want or potentially lose federal funding. The New York Times says the Justice Department and the Department of Education will send a letter to school districts across the country explaining that children who identify as transgender need to be allowed to use the bathroom that matches their gender identity. And the letter contains an implicit threat that schools could lose federal dollars if they don't comply. I mean, we've been talking about this for months, but now it's become so clear, so obvious what the agenda is here. And I'm going to just mention again, statistically, we're talking about maybe 0.03% of the population. And interestingly, I just heard, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but there's been some news reports that, you know, Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, who changed his gender, now wants to change back. And I think our response to these individuals always needs to be love and compassion and reaching out with kindness, but also with truth and not compromising on the truth, as you said earlier. But boy, oh boy, it's just, where are we headed as a nation, Alex?
Well, I know. And to encourage teenagers in this, as you and I both know, young people, they go through so many things. Young people are on a path toward, you know, self-actualization, feeling good about who they are. You know, I don't mean that in any kind of new agey, you know, way. I mean, it's what, you know, Abraham Maslow would, you know, refer to as, you know, getting comfortable in your own skin. And it, when you take like a 12 or 13 year old that has maybe read some blog site about transgenderism and a confused, alienated, lonely, hormone-driven, emotional kid says, oh, okay, I must be transgender. To foster and encourage that's pathological. Part of our job as parents and adults is to help kids transition from adolescence into adulthood, and putting them on the path of deviant behavior is not the way to do it.
Next time you join us, Alex, we'll talk about the solution and the way that Christians can make really be salt and light in a culture that seems to be heading increasingly in the wrong direction. Our guest, Alex McFarland, Christian worldview expert. You can learn more about him at alexmcfarland.com. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Bill.
56 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.